start to keep her always in her prayers. Good to see everyone. Thankful for those that have taken time out to be here, but also for those that may have logged on to the website, the YouTube channel, or the Facebook page. Appreciate the efforts that you put forth there. Our study, of course, is continuing in looking at the characters of the Old Testament and seeing what lessons it is that we can learn from those. And tonight we're looking at Joseph. And to remind ourselves always why it's important that we study the Old Testament scriptures. Well, we still have them because they are written for our learning. And hopefully that through patience and comfort, we might have hope. So let's always keep this in mind as an opportunity every time we have a chance to look into the Old Testament scriptures, whether it's discussing people or discussing events. And concerning Joseph, I found it rather interesting that Smith's Bible Dictionary lists 10 men in the Bible with the name of Joseph. And even more interesting, I found that 2 of those 10 had the same father's name, and that was the name Jacob. Of course, there are 2 different Jacobs, 2 different Josephs, but I found that to be rather interesting. But the study that we're looking at tonight is the one that we read about in Genesis 37 through chapter 50. So there's a great deal been revealed about Joseph, the son of Jacob, and also Rachel. Joseph is the first son of Jacob by Rachel. You remember the story there. He worked for 7 years thinking he was going to get Rachel for the wife when Laban tricked him. He had to work another 7 years. And, of course, to begin with, Rachel was barren. And that, of course, is a story within itself, almost like the story of Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, and Ishmael. But be that as it may, because of that, Jacob loved Rachel more than Leah, we know from Genesis 29, verse 30. And I guess it's only fit to say that Jacob loved Joseph then more than the other 11 sons that he had. And this is specifically stated to be the case in Genesis 37 and verse 3. And we know, of course, probably the one thing we remember the most about Joseph is that Jacob made for him a coat of many colors. Joseph's brothers hated him. And as Genesis 37 and verse 4 says, they could not even speak peaceably with him. So that's the degree of animosity that there was between Joseph and his brothers. And really to make things worse, Joseph, you remember, told his brother 2 dreams that he had. The one dream, he dreamed that he was gathering and the sheaf that belonged to him stood up and his brother's sheaves stood up and bowed down to him. And we read that story in Genesis 37, verse 7. Then the second dream was he dreamed that the sun, moon, and the 11 stars bowed and worshipped him, and that's in verse 9 of the same chapter. Of course, the sun and the moon would be representative of his mother and dad. The 11 stars would be representative of his 11 brethren. And this caused, again, additional problems between him and his brothers, and even sort of got Jacob a little riled, thinking that he would be bowing down unto Joseph. Joseph's life is filled with suffering, anguish, sadness, and we find him to be among what we sometimes refer to as the Hall of Faith. That, of course, is referring to Hebrews chapter 11. Glenn, read this verse 22.
By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones.
All right. should every find that is mentioned in Hebrews 11. So, what are the lessons that we can learn from Joseph? One lesson I think truly is that doing the right thing, it doesn't always mean that things will go right. The jealousy, the hatred, the resentment that Joseph's brothers had first led them to the idea of killing him. But of course, the son Reuben talked them out of that. And instead, what happened was that they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. And I hope that name rings a bell, since we looked at Abraham not long ago. And we saw that there were two nations that would come out of Isaac and Ishmael. And of course, the Midianites, that's also mentioned. Really, what they were a group of Arabians. And that's, of course, what the nation that Ishmael was the father of. They come along, and Joseph's brothers, according to Genesis 37:20, sell Joseph for 20 shekels of silver. And the verse says, they took Joseph to Egypt. It was in Egypt that the traders sold Joseph to Potiphar. And in verse 36 of that same chapter, we see that Potiphar was an officer of Pharaoh, and he was a captain of the guard. Joseph, through all of this, remained faithful. He remained obedient to the commandments of God, even though he was in a strange land. And it was because of this that in Genesis 39 and verse 2, the statement is made that the Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man. So God's blessings indeed helped Joseph to find favor with his master. And eventually he made him overseer of his house. And yet it would be nice if the story would end here, but it doesn't. Potiphar's wife, verse 7 of chapter 39 says, cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she seduced him to lie with her. And that word lie is really a euphemism. It's a word that simply stands for fornication. And so this did not happen just once, but it was day after day until Potiphar's wife forced herself on Joseph as a last resort. And she tried to force Joseph to lie with her, but instead, Joseph fled. Now, he also refused, always refused, and did not give in to the seduction of Potiphar's wife. In fact, he makes this statement in chapter 39, verse 9. Shane?
There is no one greater in this house than I, who has kept my kingdom from me to you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?
See, Joseph hit at the very center of what sin is. It's against God. And though there was another woman involved, though there was another man involved, and though all of that could have involved them, yet Joseph put sin right exactly where sin needed to be, and it's really what we need to be. To sin against God is what happens whenever that we go contrary to God's will. And so there's a lot of lessons from Joseph just in Potiphar's house that we could do well to remember. Joseph did the right thing. But as I've said, sometimes good doesn't result and it doesn't heal. At least not at the moment. Potiphar's wife accused Joseph in verse 17 that he came in unto me to mock me. This was the story she told to her husband. Well, how do you expect her husband to react? Well, Potiphar's anger was aroused. We see that in verse 19. And he went so far as to put Joseph into prison in verse 20. Joseph was in prison. for doing the right thing. I don't know, I don't think that we can really determine how long of a period altogether that Joseph was in prison. One commentator made the suggestion that it was possibly as long as 10 years. And if that's the case, that even adds to me more appreciation for Joseph to be in prison that long. Now we know that he was in there for 2 years after he told the baker to remember him before Pharaoh, and the baker didn't. That was a 2 year period. But what you gonna say?
10 years. I must have been somewhere else. What happened?
For him being in prison?
Oh, Joseph was in
prison.
Okay.
Right. So life is unfair. But let's remember, God is always fair. And when you think about this statement, this really is the reality that every Christian must face. Doing the right thing will not necessarily lead to a good outcome. Not every time. Not all the time. And we don't need to expect it. Think about it. Christ was perfect. He did no sin. And yet he suffered the most excruciating, agonizing death, the penalty of the cross that any person, any human being could ever conceive. What did he do to deserve what he did? No, nothing. So being a Christian is not easy. However, God has this to say for those that will choose to faithfully follow him. 1 Peter 2, verses 19 through 21.
For this is commendable, if the cause of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps.
And we don't need to get very far away in our lives from those verses to remember. There's one other one in Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. Butch, would you read that one?
Blessed are you when they arrive at the gospel. Say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for greater is your reward in heaven. But so they persecute you.
Understand that word exceedingly, I put the emphasis on. Because that's what we need to be. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So following God and Christ, it's not going to always be convenient. It'll lead to difficulties, to persecutions, and it's only natural, really, that we suffer during this lifetime. So though our life as a Christian may be tough, we can all be assured of what Jesus spoke about there in Matthew 5, that our reward will be worth it. It will be great. Another lesson that we can learn from Joseph is, I just took the statement in Romans 8 and verse 28. All things work together for good to them that love God. You know, despite these events in Joseph's own house and in Potiphar's house, Joseph meets Pharaoh's chief butler and baker while he is in prison. They both have dreams, and Joseph interprets the dreams for them. The butler's dream meant that he would be reinstated to Pharaoh's house, while the baker would be hanged. And Joseph told the butler to remember him to Pharaoh, But instead of remembering Joseph, the baker forgot. That we read in Genesis 40 and verse 23, and then it's in verse chapter 41 and verse 1 that a 2-year period passes from the point that he speaks to the butler before it ever gets around that the butler does remember. So after showing goodness to the butler, Joseph is again is repaid with unkindness. When all of the hope seems to fade, Pharaoh has a troubling dream, and no one is able to interpret it. And all of a sudden, the butler remembers Joseph and speaks of him to Pharaoh. You see, Joseph's faith remains strong throughout the years of his stay in Egypt, and he confirmed his faith to God by acknowledging God to be the supreme giver of knowledge and of wisdom. Here's what he said in Genesis 41, verse 16, Brother David.
It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace.
So, again, Joseph gives credit to whom credit is due, as far as he is interpreting Pharaoh's dream. So after he interpreted Pharaoh's dream and he suggested a way to deal with the great famine that would soon to come upon Egypt, Pharaoh makes this statement to Joseph for everyone to hear. Brother George?
Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Inasmuch as God has shown me all, there is no one as discerning wise of you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the strong will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt."
So, what a remarkable turn of events. Joseph, who was a prisoner, was suddenly turned into the most powerful ruler in the land of Egypt, next to Pharaoh himself. So let us realize that as Christians, that no matter what happens in our lives, we can always have the confidence that God is in ultimate control. And I think sometimes, depending on the things that life offers us, we tend to forget that. But God, and that's certainly one of the things that we see in this story of Joseph, is that God is ultimately in control, no matter what the circumstances, the situations that arise. We can always trust the Word of God. When it says, and this is a statement that Moses makes to Joshua, Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6, Brother Byron.
"Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you."
Sound familiar? It ought to, because we find it in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Where it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Joseph's life is among the best example on how God works out his plan. And though we might not understand the things that are now happening in our lives, we must have the faith that God will work all things for good if we continue to do the rest of what Romans 8 and verse 28 says, and that is to love God, just like Joseph did. A third lesson is that there's no excuse good enough to break God's commandments. Joseph, at a very young age, lost everything. You know, Joseph could have had all of the reasons in the world to do what was right in his own eyes and just forget about God. He was betrayed by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. He was imprisoned by resisting the advances of Potiphar's wife. He was forgotten by the butler after he interpreted his dreams. You know, Joseph could have just made up one excuse after another and just gave up. After all, he could have the best life there was in Egypt. Couldn't he? Sure. He could have compromised on every hand and lived the good life. But he did not. He did not compromise his godly principles. Think about it. He was in a foreign land. You know, the thought could have run through his head, hey, nobody here knows me. I can do whatever I want to do. Nobody knows me. His parents are not there. He's not going to get any rebuke from them for doing what they consider to be wrong. And no one would hold him accountable for giving in to temptation. I mean, who is there in Egypt that's going to hold Joseph accountable? Nobody. And after years being in Egypt, he could have easily dismissed God as saying, God doesn't care about me. Look what all's happened to me. You think God cares about me? Is that sometimes thoughts that we have, thoughts that we hear people say whenever calamities come upon them in life? God doesn't care about me. He doesn't know I'm living. Joseph could have done all of that. But Joseph's integrity and his dedication to God kept him on the right track. You see, if God's will is important to us, then we'll find every reason to follow God instead of making excuses not to. Joseph had all of the excuses and reasons in the world to stop obeying God. So at this point, let's stop and ask ourselves some questions. How easy is it for us to break God's commandments? How easy is it for us to compromise and just give in to temptation? What's our excuse or excuses? What do we say to ourselves when we're trying to rationalize, when we're trying to justify our sins? See, we need to come to a realization that there is really no excuse good enough for us to sin. Sin is sin. The moment we give in to temptation because of excuses, we're losing the opportunity to develop godly character, and we're losing the opportunity to show God that we can do what 2 Peter 3 verse 18 says, grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, let us do away with all of the excuses we might use. And let us all, as the Hebrew writer says in chapter 12 and verse 2, lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Because that's exactly what Joseph did. And the fourth lesson is we need to learn to delay gratification. Now, you might think that's a little strange, but bear with me. We need to overcome the temptation of instant gratification. You know, we live in a world where we are bombarded with many opportunities for self-gratification. Take technology. Technology has made our lives easier to the point that we feel entitled to have all of the good things in this life. And it seems that with just a simple push of a button, we can just instantly have what we want. And since this world is geared towards the way of getting, we can easily see why this world has a serious lack of this one thing, patience. There's not much patience in this society that we live in. Has it rubbed off on us? See, what we need to understand is that part of being faithful as a Christian involves patience. In fact, if you get a concordance and look up the word patience, it appears some 23 times just in the New Testament. And if you look up the word patient, it appears some 6 times. So there's no getting around it that the only thing that's going to, and the one thing that's going to help us a great deal in this life as a Christian is to have patience. That's what Joseph had. Joseph did not want instant gratification whenever things went wrong in his life. He was patient. Joseph knew this, and he was very patient to wait for God's promise. You know, he remembered his dream. Remember those 2 dreams that he dreamed back in his father's house? There was his sheaf standing, and there were the sheaves of his 11 brothers, and they stood and bowed down to worship him. That was God giving Joseph a promise. Same was true when he had the dream of the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, that not just only would his 11 brothers bow down, but so would his mother and father. That was, in an effect, a promise that God was making to Joseph through those dreams. And Joseph remembered those dreams where God revealed unto him that he would rise to power. Exactly when and how that would happen, you think he knew that? Why, no. He had no idea as to when. He had no idea as to how that it would come about. He didn't know. All that he and all that we need to know is God never lies. Artem, read that Titus 1 verse 2 for us.
In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began.
All right. God cannot lie. And what God has promises, he is able to deliver. Leave Isaiah 46:10.
Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. I'm sorry, I started reading.
That's reading pretty much, that's the New King James there, and it's pretty much the same in the King James version, that last statement, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. I don't know about you, but when I see that word pleasure, It's sort of an odd word to me to put in reference to God. So really, I like what the English Standard Version says. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done, say, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. And I think that's what we see in all of these Old Testament characters, Joseph being one of them. God is accomplishing his purpose. God is accomplishing his plan that he has in mind. And Joseph has learned this art of delayed gratification. It's the process of denying ourselves the temporary and the immediate pleasure that sin can give in order to have a greater joy and a genuine blessedness in the presence of God. See, instead of giving in to temptation, Genesis 39 verse 13 says, he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. See, notice the determination of Joseph. He didn't just walk away from temptation. It says he fled. And he ran from temptation. So what about us? Will we enjoy sin for just a brief moment? Or will we suffer now, but enjoy God's full blessings for eternity? So in the conclusion of our study, the story of Joseph helps us to see how God works in the grand scheme of things. And God knows every detail of our lives. You stuck your finger up there, it's like an auctioneer. I thought I had a bid. I thought you were signaling me for time. But God knows every detail of our lives. We're not hiding anything from God. We may be hiding it from those that we love, but never from God. He is our Father, and just like an earthly father, as the psalmist said in Psalms 84, verse 11, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. That's the God that we serve. And so the lessons from Joseph's life are truly powerful. But we need to remember that these lessons will be absolutely useless if we don't make application, if we don't put them into practice. When Joseph makes himself known to his brothers, read for us Genesis 45, verses 5 and 8, Brother White.
But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. So now it is not you who sent me here, but God.
What a statement. What a statement that is. To think about all of the things that Joseph went through at the hands of his brothers, knowing that they really wanted to kill him. If it had not been for one, he would have been dead. But then, probably the second worst thing that could happen to a person is to be sold. Sold as if they were possession. And like we said, everything that Joseph did, he did good. He did right. He remained faithful to God, but it didn't always turn out good. And yet, when it comes down to family, his brothers have to come to Egypt because of the famine. He makes this statement. Do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. So it was not you that sent me, but God. Joseph saw the overall control that God has. Regardless of the things happening to him, Joseph was able to see over it and see beyond it and said, God is the one that's in charge. Joseph understood that all of the events which had happened in his life were according to God's plan. Now we need to also have the faith that God has a plan for us and that he is currently working on us. God is not yet done. As long as we're still living, God is not yet done with us. We need to be patient. We need to be faithful. Back up at Wise, when we had enough young people to do it on Sunday night, I would get with them for about 20 minutes before the Sunday evening service and have a little Bible quiz and sing some songs. And one of the songs we sung was this one. It's entitled, He's Still Working on Me. Listen to the chorus of this song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. There really ought to be a sign upon my heart. Don't judge me yet, there's an unfinished part. But I'll be perfect just according to his plan, fashioned by the master's loving hand. And in the chorus, but then the other stanza, in the mirror of his word, reflections that I see, makes me wonder why he never gave up on me. He loves me, this I know, and helps me when I pray. Remember, he's the potter, I'm the clay. It's a little bit more than just a children's song, isn't it? As long as we're living, as long as we continue from day to day, this ought to be the patience that we see in Joseph in our lives. Lord willing, next Wednesday we will look at a very prominent, I don't know if he's any more prominent than Abraham, but second, certainly he's in the top three of characters that we can study about as we look at the Old Testament. That is the Moses, the great man that he was. Comments, questions? I appreciate so much your time, and now we'll wait for just a few moments and get on with the worship service.